Our scripture this morning is found in the book of 2 Peter, verses 3 through 15 of chapter 1. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things.
Well, good morning again. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your word that is truth. God, we pray that you would speak deep truth to our hearts and our spirit through your Holy Spirit today, and that I would speak your word and not opinions of my own, but in doing so, God, that we would be instructed in a life of holiness. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would begin today by saying, in May's newsletter, I did an article on growth and growing and spiritual growth for the summer, because if you're like me, summertime's a time when you tend to want to kind of put things in neutral and back off on the things that you probably should be doing and coast a little bit. We do vacations and visit people and those kind of things. But in terms of our spiritual growth, from what the apostle says today, we should never take a vacation from that. And we should always be seeking to either grow in Christ, or the other options are that we're either stagnant or we're dying, and that's it. So I want us to, as you see in the bulletin, the title of this series will be Living Epistles, meaning that each one of us, if Jesus is Lord in our lives, people are reading our lives, and we are living epistles that need to confirm our calling in Christ. So I'm going to focus in our time today on that list that Mary Lou shared, where God says that it all begins with faith. That undergirds everything we are about and that we do. But if we have faith, it's not optional. We are called to add to that virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection, and ultimately love, to cap all of that off. So we'll look at that today. But first of all, let me ask you, as we're looking at having a holiday tomorrow, which is where we disengage from work, what is it that you work hardest at in this life right now? Maybe for some, it's raising a family still, with extended family, or education even later in life, a career, hobbies in retirement. There's all kind of things that we work hard at, and there's nothing wrong with them, ultimately. You know, I have goals, and I have things that I press toward achieving, but whenever I focus all of my attention on stuff and achievements, sometimes I forget my character work, if you will. So I want us to think about the fact that character counts today. Does anybody believe character counts?
Yes.
Okay, that's a given. If your hand's not up, I'll talk to you later. But we live in a world, if you haven't noticed, of moral decay, and some days we're in it knee-deep, and others I feel like I'm up to my chest and stuff as the boundaries are getting shifted and changed, and supposedly the moral absolutes are going by the wayside, but the Word of God never changes. It's as true today as it was when it was given by Revelation many, many years ago. And so if we're not growing, Peter mentions that we're unproductive and things will not happen. We have to ask ourselves, if we're striving for things and goals of stuff, rather than being the men and the women and the children that God has ordained us to be in character. So we need to sometimes take a time out and be reminded of that, as the scripture said a moment ago. Peter says at the end of this section, I'm doing this, church, to remind you that this is the teaching that has been passed on to me. And ultimately, he says, I'm getting ready to kind of take off this body. I like that image because he doesn't say, I'm getting ready to die, because he's not going to die. He knows where he's going. But the Lord has told him, shortly you will be essentially crucified for me. You will die for my cause. And if you look historically at the time that the letter was written, within a year after that, Peter was crucified, and so he knew the time was near, and he needed to let these people know something. You know, God loves you. We hear that a lot, but I'm going to say that to you again today. God loves you, but he wants to continue to make you new. And in this first verse, verse 3 that Mary Lou shared, it says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. In that, he's saying that by divine knowledge and giftedness, we have every single thing that we need in the Holy Spirit for life and godliness. Sometimes we forget that as well. We think we need to be taught by human instructors and whatnot, and there's nothing wrong with that, with growing in our discipleship. But the Holy Spirit has given you everything you need to be the person that God has called you to be today. And so by knowing him, by walking with him, we can take these seven qualities and kind of stack them on, if you will, or I like kind of build them around our faith as we grow in grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the big question to start with today is this: do you want to change, or do you want God to change your circumstances? Now, I recognize in a room this size, there are some that may answer either side of that question. And for me, depending on the day, if I'm honest, some days I choose both. But normally, if I'm in line with what the Spirit is teaching and leading me into, I want to change. Unfortunately, sometimes I want it on my terms, and God doesn't work that way. But I do want to change because we've been given all that we need in the Spirit to take advantage of this change. You and I just have to pursue it. You know, what Peter is saying here is a reminder to me that this thing we call the Christian life doesn't just happen by osmosis. You know, I can stick this thing under my pillow at night, but folks, it doesn't do anything but keep me awake when I roll over on it. It doesn't absorb into my head or into my spirit. I've got to crack it open, and I've got to prayerfully dig into it. And I've got to recognize that whenever I study the Word of God more than just for head knowledge, I'm meeting the one who is the living Word of God. And if I don't know him here, I don't know him completely here as he desires me to. And so the question then I think of is, you know, when you became a believer, was it simply to, as some people say, for fire insurance or to keep you out of hell, or was it to gain this moral giftedness that God has for all of us in Jesus Christ, to grow us up morally, if you will, so to speak, in a way that you and I cannot do on our own? I can try to be a morally good person all day, but at some point I'm going to slip and I'm going to fall and I'm going to stumble. But if the Holy Spirit is leading me, then I can change by adding these things to my faith: virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly love, or brotherly affection, or another way to put it is love for the brethren, the church, or the love of God, which is agape love, which is the only love that is self-giving as God gives. And so, you know, this is where you may begin to wonder if you know, Pastor, are you going to ask all of those silly questions that come up that I've been asked my whole life? You know, do I really have to stop drinking? Do I really have to forgive? Do I really have to give up this addiction if I'm going to heaven? Do I, you know, if I leave my wife, are you saying that I can't make this connection? And when those questions begin to arise in our spirit, it brings another question to my mind, which is it an obligation or do you see it as an opportunity? Because when I begin to ask in that regard, I'm really wondering if I have a new nature. God desires for me to be new in Jesus Christ. He desires all things new for those who would follow after him and surrender the old nature. And so if you get to a point to where you know that you know that you know what God wants you to do and you blow it and something in your heart goes, oh, I did it again. I am so sorry. That is not the person I am anymore. Then praise God, because there's fruit growing on your tree. And he's proud and he's cheering you on. And as the Apostle Peter is saying, strive to do all that you can to see these things in your life, on your fruit tree, if you will, as a follower of Jesus Christ. This isn't about bragging rights. And it's not about you and I one-upping one another, but it is taking an honest look and saying, is there virtue in my life? Praise God for that. If not, why not? Oh Lord, help me to unclog the line to bring in your virtue, because you desire holiness in my life. Is there knowledge of God that I didn't have a year ago because I'm seeking after him? If not, why not? And so it's a honest checklist, gut check, if you will, that Peter's saying, you have the power to do this. You've been given everything you need to do this. Now celebrate it and do it, church. And I think today we need to be re-reminded in a world that is shifting and slipping that there are moral absolutes and norms that God calls us to. And so when we blow it and we feel bad for blowing it, we recognize that we have potential of being amazingly godly men and women. And it's okay to desire that. It's okay to recognize that, as I said, it's not bragging rights, but it's bragging rights to the one who gives all things good that we desire in this life. And so that's why the Bible says the Holy Spirit is in you. Go after it. Go after him. Seek the things that he desires in your life. And it starts with faith. Let me share that fifth verse again, where Peter says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. And I'll hold my finger there in the middle for a moment with the list of things he said: virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Make every effort for this reason. Well, what's the reason? Well, the reason is what he said in the beginning: because of his divine power, he has given you all things that you need to achieve this. That's the word of God. That's the truth of God, that we have everything we need in the Holy Spirit to become what he has called us to be. For those who have walked away from the old life and decided to follow Jesus, if you will, you have to add to it. It's not optional. Peter's not saying, if you feel like it on some days, or if you feel good about it this week. No, he's saying, for the one who's walking in faith, add to this. You must add if you're going to grow in Jesus Christ. Now, once again, let me lay this out and say this isn't legalism. I'm not saying that in my own strength I can do any of this, because I can't and you can't either. But in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can become all of these things. And the Bible promises that, and God desires that. John Piper, one of my favorite preachers and teachers, says this of Peter. He says, Peter calls us to a holy dissatisfaction with our present attainments. Now, I like that image, dissatisfaction, because it reminds me that, you know, we're not going to spin our wheels and make ourselves crazy, if you will, but there's always going to be something more that we want to attain in the Lord. And that's a spiritual growth. That's where we should find ourselves, a hunger for more. And so even in a physical sense, you know, I could relate this to that concept, because when we were 10 or 12, if you can think back just a couple years, amen, we were looking for 13, because now you're a teenager and you have come of age. And then we were looking for 16 because then you could drive, you know, this thing filled up with gasoline like a rocket down the road, and it enhanced your parents' prayer life like nothing else. And then you became 18 and you could get other benefits and so forth. And so in life, we kind of go that way. You know, we're working on, we got the next goal in mind, and until we get in our golden years and we recognize that we may have tried to rush through some things too fast. But in effect, that's a good analogy for me as a reminder that there's always this hunger, this desire for more where the Lord is concerned, and that's okay. In fact, that's supernatural, and it should be that way until we reach the next thing. So let me, if you will, give me the liberty, let me spend a little time just unpacking these qualities for you this morning somewhat. Let's consider them today. Virtue. You may have an idea. You may know what virtue means, but in this context, in the Greek, essentially what he's getting at is moral excellence that God has. Now, once again, we feel like, well, I'm going to be bragging if I go around and telling you I'm morally excellent today. But that's not how it is at all. In fact, God desires you to be morally excellent because we live in a world that is not striving for that. And what a witness it is when someone in humility walks in that God-given virtue of virtue. People ought to see the moral excellence in your life, so go for it. God has called us to that. It's nothing to be ashamed or to shy away from. It's a word that describes you and I when we're walking in Christ by the Spirit, because the Spirit is that way, not because of anything I've done. No, I'm not that way on my own, but in Christ Jesus, I have that. Is this a word to describe you, and are you making every effort to attain it today? I think that's what Peter is checking all of us for and asking us in a good, encouraging way. Work hard at your moral excellence, knowing that God is working through you, and it's not you doing it on your own. And then he says, add to this knowledge. How are you doing with this one? Have you been working harder and harder to understand God and to know who God is and to walk closer and to follow God and to know this living word better? Have you been striving to do that? Once again, this isn't to heap guilt or shame or anything. In fact, it's to celebrate what God is doing because we're doing these things. And if you're not, we'll get started. Strive for it. Do it. And in fact, some have been believers for years. And unfortunately, I believe if quizzed, there may be three or four scriptures that they could bring to mind without opening the Bible. And we all need, and I'm convicted of that. I know more than I did, but I don't know all I need. Because the more I know it, the more intimately I know Him. And that's what should drive us all to our knees and open this living word and sit before Him. You see, I believe this morning we need to love this word almost as a spiritual GPS, if you will. Because if I'm not opening it regularly and if I'm not going to it prayerfully, I drift, folks. I drift quickly. But whenever I open it and get back into it, and I understand, even in saying it, there's some hard stuff in here that I have to pray over and I have to wrestle with and I have to struggle with and I have to think about. But it doesn't mean I put it aside and let it gather dust. For I'm not growing if I'm doing that. You know, I think personally, one reason I need to get alone with God and His Word is because when I'm alone studying, and when it's just me and the Lord, there's nothing to hide because everything is exposed. He knows me, warts and all. He knows every thought you have, every word you've said, everything that you and I will do. And what a wonderful place to be exposed, amen? Because only God knows you the way that He knows you. You know, I can lie to you. I can. Not that I like to, or not that I intentionally try to, but you know, there's days whenever we come together and all smiles, hey, Pastor, how's it going? Great. My world is spinning out, and I'm falling apart. But I'm not telling you that. That's not truth. But the reality is, if we take to heart the fact that every time we open this is not a dead letter. This is not like any other book. This is the living word of God, where when we meet with him, he meets with us and he changes us and transforms us from the inside out, and so that we can take our faith and we can put on it virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection and love in a way that only the Spirit can do that through us. But we've got to make it happen. We got to strive to do that. And once again, I'll say it don't happen by osmosis. It doesn't just sink in. The Christian life is an active life. And Peter's calling us to that, to strive in all of these areas, to seek these things fully, to know these things. You see, the knowledge that he talks about here is not just book knowledge, which is okay in this world, to get a good education, to get a good job, to get something for yourself in this life. But folks, too many people are holding on to the things of this life, not living toward the life that is to come. And that's why I think that Peter could say, I'm getting ready to put off this body, rather than saying I'm dying, because I'm planning on the life to come and not just to stick around here and to collect things in this life. You see, this knowledge must go beyond just quoting. It's about growing in wisdom. And then he says, add self-control. Now, that seems self-evident to mention self-control, but in this context, what he's saying is that any of those desires or passions that you have in this life, they need to be moderated. And only the Holy Spirit can do it in a way that it needs to be done. I think oftentimes when we think of passion, the first thing we go to is things sexual. And you know what? I would say out loud, for those who are in the bond of marriage and love, God designed sex for you, go for it. Praise the Lord. Celebrate. But not outside of that context. And even within that context, be moderate. Don't let it consume you, because he knows that our passions can consume us. Anybody here like to play? Well, yeah, there's more than John. Yes, we love to play. We love to get out and do things, but we need to keep it in check. Self-control, moderate. Anybody like to sleep? Oh, I love to sleep. Yeah. I could be a bear. Especially in the winter up here. But yes, even those kind of passions need to be moderated. We need to have self-control in that regard. And then he goes on to steadfastness. Now, this is a word we don't use that often, but you probably would know it more in terms of patience. And in fact, I think that one good example that I heard this week that I really appreciate the most was one pastor saying, you know, if you could imagine, this idea of steadfastness is almost like someone holding up a large weight and just trembling underneath it and just desiring to put it down, but not putting it down, because two things are going to happen. Either he's going to crumble under it, or he's going to get stronger by holding that weight up in the air. Folks, sometimes I think that we want God to take our weight away, if you will, rather than having him to stand with us to hold it up. You know, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. Patience is about staying the course under heavy weights in life, if you will. It's like holding on to something heavy that you'd rather let go of. But the reality is, when you have that weight on you and you just keep holding on to it and you get stronger, then you're able to help someone else later on who needs to carry that weight. When we want God to get rid of our weight and then I can relax and everything becomes easy, the reality is I don't grow there. That's not a place where I grow. That's not where I'm standing steadfast. Most of us, if we are honest, we want to have that weight taken out of our life, whatever it is in your life right now that's just too hard to hold on to. But you know, sometimes I truly believe God may have been the one that kind of set that up there to teach us to be as he is, to walk as he walks. You see, we care about our comfort more than we care about our character at some times. Here's another kind of analogy that I appreciate, and I hope you see the connection that I heard this week. And I really like the concept. A few months back, I preached a sermon called No Plan B. But here's a plan A and a plan B, if you will. Let's say Jesus came in here this morning and came up and he says, I'm going to offer you in this year, 2016, two options. And the first one's going to be great. Perfect. You're not going to have any stress, no problems. You're going to have no mortgage. Your kids are going to go to college and graduate on the dean's list, and all their teeth are going to be straight, and they're going to be beautiful, and their hair is going to be combed. They're even going to make their beds. Amen. And you're going to have no bills, no sickness, no cancer, no disease, none of this stuff. It's going to be a great year, but you're not going to get any closer to me during this year. But I'm going to set you up and just let you go with it. And you're going to relax and you're going to cruise through this year. But by the end of the year, you know, I'll be over here. We'll talk. We'll see how it goes with you. And that's option A. So you think about that. Over here, option B. It's going to hurt. And it's going to be tough. You're going to have some sickness. You're going to have pain, and you're going to lose some things. Some loved ones are going to die. But every single time one of those hits you, I am going to be so close to you as you have never known before. And my love for you is going to go so deep that you can't even begin to imagine what our relationship's going to be like at the end of this year. That's B. So here's the thing. You think about it. A or B, and I'll be out in the narthex after worship. You guys celebrate, come on out, and you just tell me. When you walk out, shake my hand, and I'll give you whichever. You take A, you take B. My flesh screams for A, but that's death. My spirit says, Lord, walk with me, and I'll follow you into your plan B. And I'll add virtue, and I'll add knowledge, and I will add self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection and your love on top of the faith that you've already given me in this life. You see, unfortunately, folks, sometimes I think we see hardship as if something were going wrong. And sometimes it is. I get that. But the reality is, God may have placed you with that weight to walk around with, to develop you into the character of the one who died and bled for you so that you can have redemption and life eternal. And he desires for you to learn something, not to condemn or to abuse or to make you suffer in a way that he would not. Let me share another familiar scripture with you this morning from our brother James. He says this, count it all joy, brothers, and I would add sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness. There it is in another letter. Produces patience. The trials that you're walking through, that God is leading you through, that he may even be leading you into, has an ultimate end to produce something in you that only he can do. It builds character. So if you're concerned about growing in godly character, we welcome the things that he sends into our lives. We're not sadistic, but we love the Lord and we trust him in certain things that we don't completely understand. These things, though, that he's talking about adding to your faith and my faith today are not optional. This is a requirement if we're going to grow in grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then on top of that, brotherly affection, he tells us, love the brethren. Now, church, we are a family here. And essentially, God is saying he wants you and I to have tender affection toward one another. What an amazing thing when it happens. But I recognize also we have families within the families, and we have family members within families that don't see eye to eye and don't care to see eye to eye. And some, unfortunately, have decided in this life to cut ties, and life is too short to do that. But I get that. On a fleshly level, you and I may have nothing to do in common with a lot of our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And so it's sometimes difficult to connect. But you know, when the Holy Spirit is real in someone's life, and then they're real in your life, and you come together, even if you have no common ground in this life, there's, you know what I'm talking about. There's this connection that only God can bring about, and you have a love for that person, and they have a love for you that only God can offer to you and to them through you. And so One of the most, and hear me on this one, let me say this loud and slowly, but I think one of the most dangerous things that we can do is to not have affection toward one another when a hurting, broken world is watching us. Because the hurting, broken world is very cynical in the first place. And if they look to the church and say, well, why would I want to be with that group? And they don't even want to be with that group. Amen? There's power in that unity of love within the body of Christ. That's what I want you to hear, not the negative side. But there's also destruction, and there's an enemy of your soul and my soul that knows how to divide and desires to divide the church. And if he can do that, he can destroy God's witness through you. And so there is power in brotherly affection. And so, Lord, give it to us. Help us to strive to be brotherly affectionate. Or let me put it this way, if you'd rather me say sisterly, but really what he's saying is brethren, the beloved, the church. We're all called to love one another. And then on top of that, we would simply add love. God's subjective love. Let me say it that way, because God's love goes out no matter what. God's love does nothing but love in spite of who the beloved is. And we know that because Scripture says what God is? Fill in the blank. God is love. He can't go against his character. God loves because that's who he is. And so we love them no matter what. You know, it's one of those where we say, no matter what you're doing to me, if the love of God is in me, I'm going to love you. No matter if you push me, kick me, spit on me, curse me, and push me away, I'm going to love you back. And in doing that, if we do that, we will not be ineffective or unfruitful for Christ. How are you doing with that kind of love? It's impossible if it's not God's love. But with God's love, if God's love is flowing through you and me, it's amazing the lives that can be touched through that. And also, if these qualities, Peter goes on to say, if these qualities are abounding, which is another word that means increasing in you and I on a regular basis, then you will never be ineffective or unfruitful for Christ. Because nobody wants to live a pointless life, right? And especially if you're a follower of Jesus, we need to grow into that grace. See, this is our guard, if you will, for being ineffective. It's not going to happen overnight. This is a lifetime event until we take off this body and step into his presence and his glory. The greatest thing we can ever do, church, for our families, for our friends, for our neighbors, is to pursue moral excellence of character by the Holy Spirit. And let me say out loud to those who are parents here in our midst today, and I'm speaking to myself as well, the greatest gift that you and I can give to our children is to have Christian character before them. It's not giving them a good education, although that's a good thing. You know, it's not giving them a path that leads to a nice job. It's not giving them material wealth and so forth, even though those may be good things in this life. But the greatest thing we can ever do is to have Christian character before them, as some of the best things in life are better caught than taught. They're watching and they're receiving. And I'm convicted even as I'm saying that with two little boys all around my feet all the time. So let's just keep it simple today. If you would take your hymnal, and let's turn together to page 8. And before we come to meet with our Lord here at the table today, I want you to ask yourself soberly, are you making every effort toward moral excellence? And if not, why? And if so, press on, press in, keep at it, praise the Lord. Are you making every effort to increase your knowledge of God's character and his will? Are you making every effort to strengthen your power of self-control? Are you making every effort to be steadfast, or are you seeking comfort instead? Are you making every effort to cultivate godliness? Let me unpack that one a little bit to say, when we're seeking godliness, We're looking to develop a heart for God. We're looking to bear spiritual fruit, to be the one that pleases and walks with the Lord daily. So if so, as I just said, press on. Press on into that. Be encouraged of what you have given. Are you making every effort to grow warm in your affection for fellow believers, especially the ones you don't care to be around? I've got them. It's just honest. And then finally, your love of God that's in your life. Are you making every effort to stir up love for the person that you dislike the most? And because that's where God goes. And that's where he leads me, into a love that I can't do on my own. Are you making every effort for agape love? Because it can do this, and it will do this. If these things are in you and they're increasing, the Bible promises today you will not be fruitless. In fact, you will be fruitful. You will never stumble. And he goes on to say, you will enter the kingdom of Christ. That's a here and now as much as it is a there and then later. The kingdom starts now. And then when we take off these bodies, we come into his presence and we witness his glory forever. And so we will never stumble. We will enter that kingdom. But let me say this, the other side of that coin before we share in the sacrament of Holy Communion, if these are not a sincere concern of yours, if you're here today and all you can think about is cooking out and firecrackers and all of that tomorrow, if that's where you find yourself, then I'm going to say it's because you've not seen the beauty of God's promise in you as his child, and you've forgotten, or you've possibly never, ever known the amazing experience of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Because if you have, you cannot overlook these things, and you have a deep desire to walk in them. The choice is yours today. So as you come to the table, ask the Spirit to reveal his way to increase in you even more these things. May he give you virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection and love like you've never had before.